Yeah, thank you so much for the way you bless me and us as a family. I think there is a lot of things that we don't even realize. The way that God used you to bless us. Somebody told me recently that's going to pray for me this whole month, every day. It humbled me, and I thank God for such people that are so sacrificial to see God working in people's lives, and I thank you for that. And also, as I share these words, I know it's hard sometimes, even in my native language, to express my thoughts. How much more in English? So if you think you can help me by correcting me in some ways, please do so. I'll not get offended. I promise you that. Today I want to share with you something that I see these as great needs in my life, and I want to share them with you as an encouragement, as a challenge. And I hope God will meet those needs and bless us. I'm going to read first from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. We know this situation where Jesus was in Martha and Mary's house. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen. So Christ comes to this place where he has visited many times, to Martha and Mary's house. And I'm sure we all have heard a lot of sermons on this subject, and you know, some people say, well, Martha did wrong by this, and you know, she was too worried about this and that, and Mary, that we probably think that way so many times. Like, you know, we want to know who is right, who is wrong. Like, you know, just for the fact that I came to this place today in church, it doesn't mean I hate the other places in town. You know, I chose to be here because this is important for me to do that today. So for Mary, when she sat at Jesus' feet, it doesn't mean that Jesus did not want to Martha to do what she did, and you know, and to serve and to prepare. Because they, there were 13 people. If it was only Jesus and 12 disciples. So there's a lot of things to take care of. But Jesus wanted to show us through this text in the scripture about some things, and I have discovered here a couple needs that I need in my life. I see them in my life, and I want to share them with you. First of all, I want to say that God never humiliates anybody. Or Jesus, he was the wisest, he was the most righteous person that ever lived on this planet. He was God, he was perfect. He never, ever humiliated anybody. He didn't want to show somebody I am right, and he just wanted to, you know, put somebody in its place. No. And yet a lot of people came and they bowed down and they worshiped him, because that's the one way we know he was fully God, because he accepted worship from people. So he never humiliated people. As humans, we think that way so many times. We are born in sin, and we don't even realize how many times that sinful nature, you know, it's trying to express itself. I know I read some time ago, since all this war started in Ukraine, and how people, everybody has an opinion about Putin, or, you know, what they do, and, you know, all that stuff. And I just read, I can't remember exactly where he was, or like was a setting where he was on a couch with somebody, some leaders he met, and everybody on the news were talking how he was sitting lower than all the other leaders that were there. You know, like, and I know that for a fact, they show pictures like he's, some presidents that are not so tall, they were, these high heels, whatever, like thicker shoes, like to look taller, to look more impressive. So our tendency is not to, you know, get lower, but to get up. You know, to get up. And people were talking like how he was humiliated by, you know, just putting a little bit lower than everybody else. Well, in this case, when Jesus came to this house, he did not say, everybody sit down. Now I'm going to talk. I'll show you, you know, how life is and how everything should, you know, should be done. And it spoke to me a lot when I read in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 25, when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a very high-ranked military person. And when there was friends there was family, and here comes Peter to preach the gospel to them and share the good news to them. And when Peter enters the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I am only a man myself. When I listen to a message today, when I try to see the Christ in that person who's sharing that message. If Christ is in that person, he'll try to lift up people. Our human nature is like, you know, to like to show I'm better than somebody else at something. Well, when Jesus was here and Peter was in this house, and you know, he did not take advantage of this. He said, well, can I get a selfie as you just sit down here? And you know, like how many people listened to me and how many people, you know, repented and I'm here and can I use you in my references and stuff like that? I mean, we can be so easily gone astray from what Jesus really was. And we say, well, but we want just, you know, to encourage people. If this, you know, and we find so many excuses and explanations for sinful nature, things that are in our heart. If we're honest before the Lord and say, Lord, I think my attitude was not right in whatever situation I was. So I want to share these three needs that I see in this situation that are in my life. First need that I see in my life, and I hope it is in yours too. So the first thing is, I need to know Jesus more. I need to know Jesus more. Mary knew who Jesus was. He was there many times. She knew Jesus. And yet when Jesus comes to their house, she drops everything. I don't know what she was doing. And she comes and sits down at his feet and says, please, Jesus, speak. I'm listening. Jesus was talking. Jesus was teaching. I don't know what he was teaching, but Mary said, I need to pay attention more to him. If they knew that Jesus would be there just for 3 years as a minister, 3.5 years before he would die and go to heaven, rose again and go to heaven, they would probably more people listen to him. Mary did not know that Jesus just for a couple years there, and yet she was there, said, wanting to know more of Jesus. I recently listened to somebody sharing the message. It is a godly man. You can see the anointing in his life. And it shocked me when he said that today, after so many years of following Jesus, he said, I know him more intimately than my wife. It shocked me. As much as I want to know Jesus more, if I am completely honest with you, I have to tell you, even though I don't know my wife completely, it's gonna, you know, we never know somebody completely. We are humans. We are so, you know, so complicated. But I cannot say that I know Jesus more than I know my wife. And I have to be honest with you, to know my wife, I have five senses to. I see her, I hear her, I can touch her, you know, I can smell, whatever. It's like, you know, I know when she's there. All of these are involved. When I talk to you, I see you. You guys hear me? But when we have to talk to God, when we want to know God, it's different than Mary. Today we know him by faith. That's why it's difficult. We don't see him with these eyes. We don't hear him with these ears. We have to know him by faith, looking in the Bible, the Word of God, and just by faith, we have to have this revelation and experience this and to know him more. Paul was writing to Philippians, and he says, chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him and His death and resurrection. So Paul was expressing this desire he has. He was not just a new believer coming to church and says, oh, by the way, who is this Jesus? He was going places to preach about Him. And God was using Paul for that. And Paul says, I do just one thing. I want to forget everything that's behind me. I want to know Him. I want to grasp this. I want to know Jesus more and more. And today, unfortunately, we have so many churches or Christians who think like this, okay, if you want to go to heaven, just say this little prayer and you'll just, you know, have a ticket to go to heaven. And Christ, who became flesh like us, came among us, the Word full of grace and power, became one of us, became sin for me, came into this world. And He wants me to know Him more. And yet we are so distracted. And Mary chose to sit there and just listen to Him. Paul was writing again to another church in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 2. He says, I'm jealous for you, for the church, the brothers and sisters. And he says, I have promised you for a man, for a Christ, for a husband. That's using this picture as we are bride for Christ. And he says, I'm jealous for you. And when Paul expresses his concern, he says, I'm afraid. In verse 3, that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your, and he does not say like your ministry, your whatever. He says, from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And he says, if somebody comes to you and preaches another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, you guys are so easy to believe that. So Paul says, I am concerned that you have a pure and simple devotion to Jesus. Everything will follow if our relationship with Him is right. Everything will be in place if we just have to know Him. Brothers and sisters, it just scares me when I read in the Bible, as I grew up as a child, you know, this verse from Revelation where Jesus says that I stay at the door and knock if anybody hears my voice. I grew up and this verse was 99% of the time. I don't remember any time the verse used as, you know, a warning for the church. It was used for unbelievers. And he says, Christ knocks at your door. If you just hear Him, open the door, He'll come to you. Christ never said that to like to unbelievers. He said to unbelievers, repent and believe in the gospel and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. That's what was preached to unbelievers. But it scares me when I see the church in Laodicea, I think that's how you say in English, in Revelation. One of the churches, one of the seven churches, they had whatever was going on in there, the service, everything else. And yet, Jesus says, I am at the door, by the way, guys. How terrible it would be, like, you know, if you have a birthday party, whatever, and the person who is there, you know, supposed to be celebrated is outside the door somewhere. You know, if you call somebody to, you know, to ask, you know, to do repair something in your house, and, you know, the person is just sitting outside knocking on the door and say, okay, I think I know what I have to do now. And you never listen to him. I never listen to him. This is one of my greatest needs in my life. I want to know Christ more. Many times I stop and I say, Lord, do I really know you in the way you are revealed in the scriptures? Christ was not a Pentecostal. Christ was not a Baptist. And yet we have so many tags, so many ways we present Him, you know. And I say, Lord, renew my mind. I want to know you, Lord, in such a personal way that it will affect and change my life completely more and more every day, every day. You know, like Zacchaeus, Christ came in that town and Zacchaeus was, you know, eager to see Him. And he was just sitting in that tree. Christ came and tells him, Zacchaeus, get down. I cannot talk to you like this. get down. We hear His voice when we know Him. Whatever we have climbed, you know, whatever we are facing in our lives, Christ wants us to hear His voice. Whatever it is, I'm sure He wants to speak to us. That's the reason He came into this world, to make us children of God, so we can hear Him, so we can come to Him and know Him personally. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents did the best they could to raise me up and to teach me the Bible and to protect me from everything else. Like, you know, but there is this mentality that a lot of people think, like, if you come from a Christian family, you know, somehow, you know, you are, I don't know how to say it, like, if you come from a worldly family who never had to do anything with God or church, somehow it's a greater miracle to be saved from that family than if you come from a Christian church. Well, I find it more difficult for me. Coming from a Christian church, I am thankful for my parents who protected me. And I think children are blessed to be in Christian families, who are born and raised in Christian families. But for us, you know, we learn so many things in our lives, like, you know, as children, and we know this is not right to do, this is not right to do. It's like I read, you know, everything about my wife, but I never met her. I know details about her life. I know what she likes, what she doesn't like, and all that stuff. I know a lot of facts. And that's how we can be, you know, in this situation where we know facts about Christ, about God. Paul says, I want to know the power of Christ in my life. And not just the power, just go and do whatever, but also to be partake in His sufferings. It's going to cost us. If we want to know Christ, it changes us. It's, you know, when we watch Him, also Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, we watch His glory and it don't just remain the same. We are transformed into His image when we watch that. So I pray that we as a church, from the youngest to the oldest, we have this desire in us. Say, Lord, please reveal Yourself to us. Lord, if there's anything that blocks my way to see You, if I am busy with many other things, not that they are wrong. Jesus enjoyed the meal and the time with that family. But at that time, He said, is that more important than what I'm saying right now? And Christ was talking to them, and Mary chose to sit down, humble herself, not forced by anybody, but she chose and says, Lord, I'll just pause everything. I don't know if it's Facebook, if it's YouTube, or whatever it is, but if we need to, you know, pause those things and say, Lord, help me to focus more on You and reveal Yourself to us. That's the need in my life, and I pray that Lord will bless all of us if we have the desire to know Him more. The second need I have that I see in this situation is the need to prioritize, to put in order. Christ came in that house, and Martha was busy getting the meal ready, or whatever it was, you know, supposed to, and that was a good thing. That was the good thing. But at that moment, Christ says, Mary has chosen the good part, the good thing. Christ was not there to say, well, what Martha does is very bad right now. It's wrong. No, we have the freedom to choose between the things that are, you know, bad or good, or things that are edifying us, like Paul says. You know, there's a lot of things. If we go right now and just grab everything that, you know, there's almost everything that, you know, Walmart sells, and just bring it here in this room and just fill it up, nothing wrong with those stuff, that stuff. It's just gonna, you know, it's gonna crowd the place, it's gonna fill up the place, but we're not gonna have room where to sit. So in our lives, I think we have those, that stuff that fills out our time, our attention. And I feel in my life I need a lot of discipline to prioritize things. God, family, church, His kingdom, my neighbor. God is speaking to me and He shows me those things that where I need to be very, very disciplined. Like Mary, in this case, she chose spiritual over the earthly things, like, you know, like a meal or whatever it was the case. So Mary chose to listen to Jesus. And I can guess Jesus was not just giving a recipe for a great meal, just what, you know. He was sharing the words of life. Whatever he was sharing, I think it touched Mary's heart. And she says, Lord, in this moment right now, I want my spiritual life to be touched by what you say. I'm going to put away everything and just going to listen to you. So spiritually, always have the right of way. Always. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God spoke. So whenever we are facing a decision where I am facing something in my life where, you know, I look like, you know, I say, Lord, what do you think about that? What do you say about the things that I want to do or want to say, whatever? Lord, what do you say about that? And I need so much discipline in this area. I need so much. And this is one of the needs in my life to prioritize. You know, Paul is writing to Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule in your hearts. You know, it's like that whenever there is no electricity, there is no like traffic lights, there is a police officer in the intersection, and he tells who goes, who stops, and, you know, what order. The peace of Christ must be that whistle in our heart. If I do something, that's the first thing that I feel in my heart. The peace is gone. If I do something that is not right before the Lord. That's the whistle. When the game must stop and we just have to see what just happened. What, you know, and, you know, like these games. There's always, you know, the referee who's, you know, stop. I don't care how many goals was scored and everything else. The game must stop right now. Whatever just happened, you know. How much more? You know, we need in our lives that whistle to blow. Talking about like renewing our mind, we grew up, you know, I'm not talking bad about churches, like, you know, other churches and stuff. But I just want to say like how we have to be eager to be transformed in our mind and think like Christ. So where I grew up is like this. For example, the Sunday when we have the Lord's Supper, you know, there's a couple prayers as a congregation where people confess their sins. Like, let's say everybody now, let's just go in a prayer and confess our sins before the Lord. And maybe before they break the bread again, let's confess our sins. You know, and I grew up like that. I knew people who fast a couple of days before the Lord's Supper. Let's now just get ready. And that's very good to be prepared for that. But I want to say is this, that if a peace of Christ is ruling in my heart, the moment I have done something wrong, do I have to wait until Sunday to confess that sin? If this happened on Monday or, you know, Tuesday, even if it happened Sunday morning, at, you know, I don't know, 10 a.m. and I am at 10:30 right here, I hope I had time to get that, you know, thing done. I mean, that mistake, I repented and confessed it before the Lord. Why do I have to wait for so many days and come before the Lord and say, Lord, yes, now we just have to confess this, you know, just come with this before the Lord. If we think biblically, you know, we have to immediately just, you know, when we do something wrong, we have to immediately set things right. You know, like before the Lord, we have to say, Lord, forgive me. What I did was wrong right here. And if I just go a couple of days after that, say, Lord, forgive me for that thing that I did on Monday, God says, I don't remember that sin. I promised you. In Hebrews, it says, you know, when He forgives us, He'll not remember our sins no more. That's part of the new covenant we have, unless we don't forgive others. So that's the need to prioritize things in our life and let Christ always be the one that says, okay, maybe you are right here. Or maybe, you know, you have to do things right here, but He will guide us how we have to behave. You probably heard this from Tozer. He said, outside the will of God, there is nothing I want. And in the will of God, there is nothing I fear. I don't think Mary was scared there, just, you know, kind of watching what Martha is going to tell about me, what she's going to do. Well, oh, Lord, here she comes. Something's going to happen right now. She was sitting there and just listening to the Lord because she felt that's what's important. That's what's important. Priorities. So I don't know what the needs are in your life. I know sometimes I have to take care of my family, and I have to do some things that, you know, some people will think, well, that's not okay. I still remember one time when I, you know, I'm a truck driver, for those who don't know. I don't spend as much time as I should with my family. So one Sunday, here I am, the sinner Sergio. I just texted the group and I said that today I'm going to spend time with my family, so we're going to miss the church. And some of you said, bless you. God bless you for the good time. And I was, wow, is this, what is this? Because normally I would get, you know, the verse which says, don't, what is that verse? It says, don't miss the gathering. Thank you. Don't forsake the assembly, right? You sinner, come here right here. And, you know, and I said, Lord, thank you. Not because I miss the church, but because in that moment, I need to listen to God and prioritize things in my family. I have to prioritize. Well, I'm not going to say that, you know, okay, our priorities have to, we have to go to Hawaii for 3 weeks and, you know, just, you know, we have to be honest before the Lord. And if it's a need, not a want, if it's a need, God will give you peace for that. So that's one of the needs that I need, that I pray that God will give me wisdom more in my life, like Mary, to prioritize things. And just look and say, what is it important right now for me? Because remember, brothers and sisters, in the last day when we'll stay before the Lord and Jesus will judge us, He will have many in front of Him and He will tell to them, I don't know you. And there were busy people. There were people who did good things, you know, cast out demons and preached the gospel and everything else. And Christ says, back to the first need that I shared, I want to know Him. And then from that, everything follows and the priorities and everything else. Like Jesus, He was, you know, people wanted to make Him king and just, you know, want to, like, you know, okay, let's just get rid of this Romans. We are not happy with them in our country and so on. And He, every time, He would just listen to Father and just do whatever the Father called Him to do. So that's another need in my life. And I hope in all of us as Christians, we need to prioritize and put God first and put whatever He shows in our lives to put things in order and be have peace in our heart. And the final need, the third need that I want to share with you is that I need to listen more to God than man. We need to listen more to God than man. So Christ was here, Mary was sitting there, and Martha comes and says, Lord, don't you care? Is that fair what's happening right here, right now? And she actually told Him, tell her to help me. Because if I tell her, she's not going to do it. You know, we need to listen to God. Mary was not there trying to justify and just, you know, say, well, Lord, what do you say now? You know, and so on. She was listening to Christ. So whatever God is showing us to do, I don't know what it is. Maybe for some of us to repent. Maybe for some of us, you know, God called us to do something and we avoid that. Maybe we're too busy with other things. I don't know what it is, but we need to listen to God more than man. Paul was saying, if I try to please man, I cannot be a servant of God. One way or the other, we're going to hurt somebody's feelings, especially if we come to church. I am sure when our brother went to hospital and he felt a little bit of pain when surgery was going, or after that, he was like, oh, that's a surprise for me that I feel pain. I don't think so. We kind of expect that. And yet we come to Christ. You know, we come before Him and say, Lord, we are here, sinful people. And somehow we are surprised when sin is exposed in our life. I am not surprised. I said, thank you, Lord, for exposing that in my life. Thank you, Lord. Now I know where I need to be more careful and repent more. So we need to listen. I need to listen more to God than to man. In that case, Mary chose to listen to Jesus. Just continue to listen. And she chose the good part. You know, when we listen to God, some people might not understand it. Some people might, you know, judge us for whatever reasons. But if God calls us and He shows us what we have to do. Even when we when we bring a gift to God, we worship Him. And the Bible says, if you remember, God, speaks to you in that moment. Just drop it there. Leave it there. Go set things right. So we have to listen to God more than man. So brothers and sisters, I know things that God is speaking to me. You might say, you look like an okay or not okay man or something like that. But I know in my heart the things that I need to repent of and the things that God is working in my life. I need to listen to Him. You know, when in Matthew 25, 26, when the master can't come and that servant was sitting before him, to one of them he says, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew. God is not going to ask me for some things that I did not know." I said, "Lord, I was kind of confused what you want to say with that word right there. Don't worry about anything," or "rejoice always," or what part of that did I understand? Should I just write it like, rejoice 24/7? Or, there are things that I know in my heart that God speaks to me. And other people say, "Oh, don't worry, everybody does that. Everybody does that. Why do you want to be different than that?" I said, "Lord, I want to be faithful before you. Because one day you will tell me, you knew." I don't know my wife or my children. God will ask them about the things they knew. And God will ask all of us about the things that we knew. And we're not going to be able to justify ourselves. We're just going to sit there and say, "Lord, you're right. I knew exactly what I had to do. But I was afraid maybe. I was scared. Or I don't know. It was too much for me." But God says, we have to listen to Him more than anything else. So, these are the needs that I have in my life, and I want to share and encourage you by sharing that we need to know Jesus more. We need to know Jesus more. When we sing these songs, sometimes I just, it helps me to meditate more because I don't know much English, so I have to look at those words that I understand. Most of them I understand, but I don't grasp the full meaning that you get from those. But I have to meditate and I say, "Lord, speak to me through those words." And the language I speak with the Lord is not English or Romanian or any other language. It's the faith language. That's how Christ reveals Himself to us. And He wants to show His character to us. And He wants to transform us. And then I need to prioritize things in my life. Christ is not there just, just kill my time and just be with me. He says, "I want to help you. That's why I came. I want to help you." And also, we need to listen to God more than anybody else, than any man. So, I choose to stay at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. You know why? One of the reasons is because when I was overloaded by sin, and I was crushed and down there, forgotten, and I was defeated. When Christ was speaking about the Good Shepherd, that left all the other sheep and just went there to search, to seek one that was lost. And the Bible says that, Luke 15:5, "Then when he has found it, he placed it not on his feet, on his shoulders." That's where Christ put me. I'm a big guy, but spiritually, God put me on His shoulder. So I'm going to carry you. And when I know more and more of Him, I say, "Lord, there are two places in this world I want to be every day of my life. On your feet, that's what I choose. Nobody forces, not even God forces me to be there. And if I get lost, Lord, I want you to put me on your shoulders." If we are honest, brothers and sisters, God will search for us and will put on His shoulder and say, "I'll get you back to where you're supposed to be." If we are honest, we try to justify ourselves, we try to fight with Martha, and we try to say, "Lord this, Lord that," and everything else, but other churches do this and everything else, I don't think we'll get that. So that's why I choose to say, "Lord, I want to follow you." And like in Psalm 119, remember the last verse? Long psalm about the Word of God, And if Ezra was that who was writing, or David, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, he says, Lord, I go astray like a sheep. Search me, Lord. Find me. Bring me back, Lord. So whatever it is in our lives, I know that God is going to show us. Because Holy Spirit is here to help us to be more like Him. And may we know Christ more. And may we prioritize more our lives. And may we listen to God more in our lives. Amen.